We're going to be concluding our series today in the means of spiritual growth. And this past summer, we have been continuing to explore in greater detail our theme, which is that most of us probably should know quite well, Romans 8:29. Can we all read that together? This should probably be our memory verse for the year. But let's read together. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so that's our goal this year. I think it's an ongoing goal we should all have in our lives, but it's one that we're focusing on this year. And in focusing on being conformed to the image of His Son, we've been looking this past summer at various means of grace, ways that we can grow closer to the Lord in our walk with Him and in our character, becoming more like Him in Christ-likeness. Now, last week we talked a little bit about keystone habits and beginning to implement various habits in our life. And Charles Duhigg had said we have habits everywhere in our lives, but certain routines, keystone habits, lead to a cascade of other actions because of them. And we saw that even things like making your bed or beginning to work out will have various effects beyond even those things, those specific things, to help us improve our lives. And we discussed a little bit about keystone habits in the life of Jesus. And we looked at Luke 4:16. On the Sabbath day, He, Jesus, went into the synagogue as was His custom. He stood up to read. And so we saw that one of Jesus' keystone habits was going to synagogue, worshiping with the people of God every Sabbath day, which was their Saturday. And in this particular passage, He would have been leading the scripture reading and the explanation of the word, speaking forth His word. Jesus also often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So this was another habit of His, and a habit that we've looked at that we should seek to integrate into our lives. And we also saw that another habit of Jesus is service. And in fact, he took a towel and He began to wash the disciples' feet as an example that we should be serving one another. And so these are several of the habits of Jesus that we are urged to follow. Now, if you would ask most people in church or in a Sunday school class, what are the habits that we can have to grow spiritually, and I think we'd probably come up with maybe these would be the big three: go to church, read your Bible, pray. And in a sense, these are all good, and these actually mirror, in a sense, Jesus' keystone habits, because Jesus didn't go to church, He went to synagogue, so Jesus went to the house of God. Jesus didn't necessarily maybe have a Bible, because they didn't have personal Bibles at the time, but He did go to the synagogue, and He would be able to read the scrolls, and we know that He dialogued with the religious leaders even in the temple, and He probably did that even before that in the synagogue, seeking to know God's word. And of course, Jesus went to lonely places to pray. And so these, again, are some keystone habits, but these aren't the only habits that we've discovered that we can apply to our lives. In this past few months, we've been looking at spiritual disciplines, various spiritual disciplines. This particular book by Richard Foster, The Celebration of Discipline, is probably about 20 years old now, and there's, I think, a new edition. But this is a book that was very influential in my life, because what it made me begin to think was and explore was that there's more to growing spiritually than just those three: going to church, reading the Bible, and praying. That actually there's historically a number of different things that we can do in order to seek God and to grow closer to Him. And we've explored some of those, like meditation and fasting and solitude and the like. And we'll do a little bit of review in a minute. So today, in wrapping up this series, we're going to do, like I said, a little review in terms of spiritual disciplines. And we'll also see how we can utilize those, hopefully, to grow more in the Lord. Now, the verse we're going to touch on in terms of remembering and reviewing this is 2 Peter 3:18. And this is Peter's benediction, a benediction. And we, every week at church, I do a benediction when I give our closing prayer. And and basically, it's a blessing to the church, and this is a final blessing in his letter that Peter wrote. And let's read this together. but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Okay, so the reason I picked this verse today was because it actually has three components that I think are necessary in terms of our growing spiritually and applying the disciplines to our life. And so it's basically the words grow, grace, and knowledge. And that's one of the goals that we have, is to grow. The Lord wants us not to just have a static life, where we're just kind of meeting the status quo, but He wants us to grow in His grace. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to grow closer to Him, and that in that growth, life change, transformation begins to be affected. Now, grace is key to this because we just can't grow on our own. We can't just will ourselves to grow and to begin to implement character change in our lives. And so we need God's grace. We need His favor, His unmerited favor, which is grace. And this grace is in unlimited supply. It's not that we need to do something to try to tap more grace from God, because the grace is there. We need to, in a sense, tap into that grace. And God desires that we live in the grace, that we may grow in Him. And then finally, knowledge, growing in the knowledge of the Lord. We know that knowledge is important because we need to have right thinking about who God is and how we can live our lives. And a lot of times there's cults like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons who kind of go off the path because they don't have a clear understanding of who God really is. But it's more than just about theology. It's also about using that knowledge as a means of transformation. And in Romans 12, the Apostle Paul talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so our mind is critical in this whole process of transformation as we meditate on God's Word, as we seek to make changes that the Lord would have us make according to His Word. And so we're called to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the primary means or a major means that Christians throughout the history of the church have done to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord is through spiritual disciplines. And historically, these various disciplines that we've been talking about are a path to transformation. And so the Lord wants to utilize these disciplines in our life that we may be transformed, that we may be changed, that we may grow closer to Him. Now, what is a spiritual discipline? And I think I've touched on this before, but by way of review, spiritual disciplines are spiritual practices and activities that help us help us draw closer to Christ and enable us to grow in spiritual maturity and Christ-likeness by the grace of God. And so there's spiritual practices and activities, and so they include many of these historic disciplines that we've been talking about, but they can also include, you know, some other things. I don't think they necessarily had MP3s and headphones that they could listen to worship music, but I think listening to worship music can be a form of a spiritual discipline, maybe a discipline of worship, as you will, but we use a modern technology. But these particular disciplines help us grow closer to God and enable us to grow in spiritual maturity. So that's the purpose of spiritual disciplines. Now, there's several cautions when it comes to spiritual disciplines. So we've been talking about how these are really good things for you. And if you actually go online and you do a Google search on spiritual disciplines, you'll get a lot of resources about spiritual disciplines. But you'll also get some web hits that will say spiritual disciplines are of the devil, and that you should avoid spiritual disciplines. These are bad things for you. And usually, sometimes they're afraid, I think, because they're too rooted, some think, in Roman Catholicism. Because in the Catholic Church, these are things that had been practiced for many hundreds of years, centuries, millennia. And so sometimes there's a pushback on that. And sometimes in disciplines such as meditation, they kind of think of a Buddhist style of meditation, not so much a Christian form of meditation that's focused on the Word. And so sometimes there's a little bit of a misunderstanding or a pushback because of this. But I will say that there are some cautions we need to take in regards to any spiritual discipline that we may undertake. And one, and the four that I've listed, one is legalism. Legalism is that we we feel compelled that we have to do this. It's a necessity. And of course, some of these things I would say are a great benefit to us, but when it becomes something that we do just for the sake of doing, not to grow in Christ, it can become legalistic, and then it can kind of sap the joy from doing those disciplines in our lives. And so we want to avoid legalism. We also want to avoid pride. Sometimes if you begin to begin fasting, and now you're fasting every week, and you do a full everyday fast, well, you might think, you know, that's pretty good. You know, I'm fasting, and I don't know anyone else in the church, any of my other Christian friends that are fasting, and so, you know, you kind of give yourself a pat on the back, you know, I'm gaining extra favor with God. I'm a really good Christian, and so the thing that was meant to draw you closer to God actually kind of maybe inflated your head a little bit. And so we need to be careful about that. And kind of a corresponding issue is that of judgmentalism, and you begin to compare yourselves with others, and you might think, like I said, pride, you know, I'm doing things others aren't doing, I'm more consistent in my quiet times, I pray more, and so I'm better. But also you begin to maybe demand that others do the same type of disciplines that you do. And so in doing that, you begin to maybe judge, well, you know, you're supposed to be doing these things, why don't you do them? And in fact, the Pharisees were like that. In one case, the Pharisees came to the disciples of Jesus and to Jesus and were saying, well, why don't you fast like we fast? Actually, it was John. I think it was John the Baptist's disciples went to Jesus and saying, "What, you know, why don't you fast like we fast?" And Jesus said, "Well, my disciples can't fast because I'm the bridegroom, and when there's a wedding, it's a celebration, and so now's not the time to fast, but at some point there's a time to fast." And so sometimes we begin to compare ourselves to others. I'm doing something; they should be doing it. Why aren't they doing it? And the fourth caution would be motive. And I think, again, the Pharisees are a good example of that. What would the Pharisees do? They would pray on the street corners. And so everyone would hear their prayer, and Jesus said, "You have received your reward in full." Or they would dress in like priestly garments, and then everyone would see, "Oh, there's a holy man." And so Jesus said, "You know, there you have your reward in full." In doing their disciplines, they were seeking the approval of men, seeking to be regarded as great men of God, but not so much seeking the Lord and knowing Him more. And so that's another thing we have to always be aware of, is our motive in practicing the disciplines. Are we doing these out of a pure motive to seek God with our whole heart? So there's these several cautions, but I think that if we kind of take note of these, we can go forward and we can begin to integrate various spiritual disciplines into our lives. Now, Richard Foster, the author of that book, has a list of spiritual disciplines, and there's many different authors and books on spiritual disciplines, and every particular author will give a little bit different take on what the spiritual disciplines are, and they'll kind of list them differently. And even as I've been preaching through the disciplines, there's been some that I've kind of lumped together. We talked one week about the Word, and we talked about a little illustration by the Navigators called the Word Hand, and we talked about in studying the Word, where you can read and you can study and you can meditate and you can memorize, and I think there's another one, but there's various parts of the Word, and so I kind of lumped that spiritual discipline, the Word, all together. There's also another prayer hand, and it's, and we talked about petition and praise and different various types of prayer, and I kind of lumped that together. In this particular list of spiritual disciplines, Foster kind of separates some of them out. So there's different ways of looking at them, but nonetheless, these are historic disciplines that have been practiced by the church for centuries, and so these are things also that aren't something that the church has just kind of came up with, but as we've been exploring these this summer, we've noticed that every one of them, we can see examples of Jesus practicing them, the disciples practicing them, or maybe exhortation in the Word, that these are things that we should do. And so there's certain things called inner disciplines, and these are things that we kind of in our internal being partake of, and one is meditation, and as we've talked about previously, meditation isn't seeking to empty our mind and becoming one with the universe as a Buddhist would do, but it's centered on the Word of God, and it's and it's in a sense chewing on the Word of God and running it through your mind and really thinking about it throughout the day and how God would have you apply that Word to your life. Of course, there's prayer, and there's many means of prayer, and we should praise, and we should adore, and we should confess, and things like that. There's fasting, and we talked about that in one of our messages, one of my messages, and fasting is mostly that of a food fast, and it can be totally not eating any food for a period of time, or maybe not eating food or drink. That's a little more dangerous for a period of time, not too long. Some, though, even we've talked about different kinds of fasts, maybe a internet fast or a social media fast, things like that, things that you give up for a period of time. And then there's study, and that's studying the Word of God, seeking to know God more, maybe taking a class, being part of Sunday school, listening to different lectures online. These are various means of study. There's also outer disciplines. Outer discipline is something that we would do that's not so much an internal take, but it's, in a sense, changing or doing something in the environment around us. And so simplicity. So simplicity would be seeking to uncomplicate our life in some way. Or maybe if we have a lot of clutter around our home, which most of it in our home is from me, you seek to unclutter that to simplify your life. Of course, there's solitude. And we read a verse just previously that solitude is Jesus' example, going to lonely places to pray. And so sometimes we just need to get away somewhere and we need to spend time with God. Submission is basically being in a relationship with someone, and it's usually in a church context. You have pastors and elders and deacons who are your leaders, and that you submit to their authority and you seek to follow their leadership. You can even do it more, maybe even in the context of a small group or a mentoring. Maybe this would be an example could be a mentoring relationship where you're meeting with a mentor and you're the mentee, and then you seek advice and counsel from them. And seek in some ways to submit to them. And then, of course, service, and we just talked about that in our passage in 2 Peter, that, in the examples of Jesus, actually, it was Jesus who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus' desire is that us as his disciples serve him. So these are outer disciplines, and there's a third category. And the third category is corporate disciplines. And I think some of these corporate disciplines can actually be internal disciplines. So there's a little fuzzy line, but of course there's confession. And so we know that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins from 1 John. And so, of course, we can and should personally confess to God. But also we see, I believe it's in James, where he says that we should confess our sins to one another. And so, being in a small group and spending time in confession and sharing with one another our hurts and concerns can actually be a very good thing. Worship is something that we do corporately, and it's something Jesus did as was his custom. He spent time in the synagogue each week, and so we come together to worship. This can also be, I think, a personal discipline when we can actually, sing songs and make music in our hearts to the Lord on an ongoing basis. Guidance, in a sense, this is probably actually more specific, what I was just talking about, also being in like that a mentoring type relationship where you're seeking advice or counsel from someone maybe who's more mature in the Lord, but it's also the process of seeking to know God's call in your life. And so when I was seeking to determine how God was calling me, I went through a process of discernment, a process of guidance. And so in that process, a couple-year process, I met regularly with the pastor. I spent a lot of time in the Word and in prayer and really seeking God's will for my life and whether he would want me in ministry. And so there was a whole process of guidance that I had gone through, and I think each of us can go through as we seek to know God's will in our life. And the final corporate discipline is celebration. And in a sense, that's what we did last, was it 2 weeks ago? when many of us went to Brittany and Joseph's wedding. We came together as the family of God to witness their covenant of marriage as they committed themselves to one another and to the Lord, and we engaged in celebration. We engaged in a happy time, and that's part of the Christian life. It's not being so serious all the time, but that in these various stages of our lives, and when things are going well with someone, we can actually celebrate with them, and we can give glory to God in our celebration and in our joy. So these are various spiritual disciplines. Most of them we've talked about this past summer, but we'll see a little bit of how then we can integrate these into our life. So how can we do that? Well, first we'll look at, in doing that, how spiritual discipline works. Now, spiritual discipline works by indirection. A discipline is something that we can do that enables us to do what we haven't yet been able to do on our own direct effort. Trying is not enough. And so you may say, and I think my the scriptural example is what we actually talked about several weeks ago, 1 Timothy 4:7-8. Train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. So the principle here is training, not trying. And so seeking to run a marathon is a good example. This is a physical example. But if I decide, or we decide, you know, maybe as a group, we're all going to run a marathon. Well, would you just try? I'm going to try today to run a marathon. And I would run, and I would go about a mile and a half or 2 miles, and I would be exhausted and I'd faint. I would try hard. I would try my hardest, but it just wouldn't happen. Because why? You need to train. You need to go into a whole training process, and there's you know, ways that you can build up to a marathon, and it takes months and months. And so you need to not just try, you need to train. Another example would be, say, you have a goal of being a medical doctor or a number of other professions. You could just say, well, I'm going to try to be a medical doctor today. You know, I'll try to diagnose your problem, and I'll give you a prescription. Well, hopefully no one would listen to you. Because in order to be a medical doctor, you have to spend years in training. You have to know your biology and chemistry and all of the sciences, and then get into medical school and study all the things that you know, in terms of anatomy and physiology and diagnosis and all the things that you would learn there, and then go and do internship. And so there's a whole process of training for, you know, decades before one can be a doctor. So it's not so much just about trying, it's about training. And I think the Lord uses the same process in our lives as we train ourselves for godliness. And one of the means of training ourselves for godliness is through these various spiritual disciplines that we see in Scripture. Now, how then can we apply some of these disciplines to our lives? And I think we can do it by means of exercising our spiritual muscles, so to speak. And an illustration here would be, well, if you want to get in shape, again, I'm using even in the example, is bodily training is of some value, and so there's this correlation of bodily training and spiritual training. And say you want to build up your muscles, you begin to lift weights, and you want to get better biceps, you work on your arms, you do curls. But then maybe if you need to work on your midsection, well, you would probably do crunches or sit-ups. But it would go beyond just that. You probably would begin a cardio routine, and you begin to run, and you change your diet. And so depending upon what you needed physically, you would tailor your approach to health according to what you really need. And so it's the same in terms of spiritual disciplines. Depending upon what issue we may be going through, we would possibly use different disciplines in order to achieve that goal. Now, I would say generally disciplines such as spending time with God, spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, those will benefit any type of change that we're trying to make. But if, say, we have some kind of addiction, and we're trying to overcome, you know, some addiction in our lives, you know, whatever that may be, you know, some internet addiction or food addiction. And so we need to build self-discipline in our lives. And so what are spiritual disciplines that will build our discipline muscle, I have to become more disciplined. And so we want to grow in discipline. Well, fasting is a means of discipline. It takes discipline to fast. And as we fast, that kind of builds up our discipline muscle. And so it's not necessarily just stopping the addiction, which we'll of course try to do, but by becoming more disciplined spiritually, that can hopefully begin to help us change and develop more discipline in our lives in other areas. And so prayer would be another discipline, and in fact prayer and fasting go together. And of course you can pray without fasting, but when you do fast, you usually pray. But if you begin a discipline of praying every day, you know, for a certain amount of time, that can really help us with addiction. Now say you have another problem. Maybe someone has guilt. For some reason they did something, they offended someone, they did something wrong, they just can't forgive themselves. Well, a discipline of confession, I think, would be a good place to begin. And it would begin by personally confessing before the Lord, but it may also might mean, you know, going to a pastor leader and confessing to them, or even confessing in the context of a friendship or a small group. And in doing that, that can help us overcome and experience the forgiveness God has for us. And also guidance. You know, seeking the help of someone who is older in the Lord, they can help assure you and assure you that of your forgiveness and how to move beyond this. This past year, we've had a counseling intern, Lei Hua, and she's been helping various people in the church and spending time counseling with them. In a sense, she's been seeking to give guidance and helping. Believers to brothers and sisters in the church to kind of think through maybe some of the problems they've been going through and work through those problems. And so in a sense, she's provided through her counseling a ministry of guidance. And that can really help with guilt and also direction in a number of other things. Now, another issue, say you have depression. Well, again, depression, that could be a means of guidance, you know, receiving guidance from someone who's more mature in the faith. Celebration. If you're really focused kind of internally on yourself and why you're so depressed, if you engage in rejoicing and praising the Lord in the context of other believers and seeing the joy in life, that can maybe help overcome depression. If maybe you lack love, is a lack of love or maybe a bitterness in your life. Well, those then you would want to exercise your muscles, not so much of internal disciplines, but of those things that kind of reach beyond ourselves and helping others. Because as we help others, that can help us then love others more generally. So, service. So if you go and serve God in some way, serve other people in some way, go and serve in a soup kitchen, say, or maybe visit, you know, do a visitation to the nursing home, Jenny Lynn, like our youth do once in a while, things like that. When we do service to others, that can help us move beyond ourselves, and it can help us to love others. And so hopefully that can have a benefit in terms of our love muscles. And then prayer. Asking the Lord that He can change our hearts. And finally, pride. If we have pride, well, submission. Submission to those that are shepherds and asking them to help us through the issues that we may have. And also, again, service, because when we're serving others, we're not focused on ourselves. And so these are just, you know, some examples, and depending upon your circumstance, you can kind of, you know, think of ways that you can apply the disciplines to the various issues or problems that we all face. But in a sense, we can make application to the specific problems in our lives. So, how do we do that then? Well, in a sense, it's kind of like a doctor. I don't know if they're a doctor or they're playing one on TV, but nonetheless, you know, as a medical person, as a doctor, they would seek to, you know, assess the health situation and give a diagnosis. And in a sense, our application is the same. You know, how, you know, taking a spiritual assessment of our lives. You know, what are things that maybe we're doing well at? What are things that we need to work on? And once we assess that, then we can prescribe. We can kind of think of a prescription, and that prescription would be like we just talked about. Well, maybe I need to begin to introduce a fasting more in my life, or maybe I need to spend more time worshiping the Lord, or I need to spend more time in the Word. And so And so depending upon what we may be going through, we can come up with a different prescription. And then finally, plan. So not just thinking, well, I'm going to do these things, but actually put a plan into practice. And part of that plan would be getting it on our schedule. And so if we get something on our schedule, then I think that actually helps us to implement that. We may think, well, I'm going to spend more time in prayer this week or regularly, but if we don't really think through how we may do that, it may not ever happen. But if you think specifically, well, at 7 o'clock every day I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray, I'm going to spend time in the Word, then at that 7 o'clock appointment you're more likely to keep it than if you had no appointment. But I think we can go just beyond the daily, our daily disciplines, and actually kind of think through how can we apply disciplines in our lives, you know, maybe in a more broad sense or on a longer term basis. And so when we think about disciplines, we don't necessarily have to do every discipline every day all the time, and if we did that, we'd probably want to move to a monastery because we wouldn't have time to do anything else. And so I would urge you to kind of think through, you know, how can we integrate various disciplines at different time frames in our lives. And so there's certain things that we probably want to do daily. We probably want to, and I would urge everyone to, spend time with God. And so spend time reading the Bible, spend time praying. But there's some things that we probably want to do weekly. And that could be, you know, fellowship with other believers. And so encouraging one another. And so that would be partaking in fellowship. And, of course, worship, spending time coming as we all are here today, worshiping the Lord and engaging in a discipline of worship and of celebration. There might be certain things that we only want to do monthly. Maybe fasting. You probably don't want to fast every day. Or maybe quarterly. Maybe a monthly fast is, you know, too mind-boggling. So you start quarterly and you do a one meal fast. You skip breakfast. And then you build up, you skip two meals, and then you skip three meals, and then maybe you move it from quarterly to monthly, and then maybe monthly to weekly. Probably not daily is a good idea, but nonetheless, we can kind of work on things and seek to progress in them. There may be other, like quarterly or even monthly, you may decide, I want to spend more time with God, and so maybe I want to find a lonely place. I'm going to go to some park or some trail somewhere, and in doing that, I'll spend an hour or two walking around and in enjoying nature. I can spend time with God, and I can pray, and I can spend extra time with Him. And then there's things we can do annually. And some of us do things annually. We go to CRC, Carolina Regional Conference, and so going to a conference like that is a way that can kind of jumpstart our spiritual engine, so to speak. And so I think it's good sometimes to kind of plan in. We want to do these things, some things on an annual basis, and it might not just be a conference. It might be some other form of study or taking a class or a seminar or something like that. So kind of think through that. I would urge you to think through, you know, some of these things. How can I, you know, look through the disciplines and how can I integrate them into my life at various stages throughout the year? And so I'll conclude with a few little tips in terms of spiritual disciplines. And I think one is we can learn more about disciplines. And there's a couple of books that I would recommend. One is the Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. There's also a book by Dallas Willard, and I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but I think it's about spiritual disciplines. And so we can learn more, but there's a lot of resources online as well. Second, we can try new things. So if you've never fasted, try fasting. Try a one meal fast. If you've never really spent time meditating on God's Word, well, spend some time, you know, kind of looking at a passage and thinking through it and thinking and reflecting on each word. Or maybe memorization. If you haven't memorized any verses, maybe since you were a kid, you know, spend some time memorizing some verses, and that is a means also of meditation. Thirdly, mix it up. We don't just have to do the same thing every time. Sometimes I think people get bored because they just, you know, there's a resource. I don't know if any of you have used it. It's called Our Daily Bread. It's a little devotional, and you there's a little passage, and then you read a little encouragement, and then you pray. And I think I used that for years. But, you know, after a little while, I kind of got tired of it. And so sometimes we can get bored with the things that we do. And so mix it up. You know, maybe when you spend time in the Word, you know, maybe use a devotional. If you've never used, like, an Our Daily Bread devotional, try it. Or maybe spend time reading a chapter a day. Or maybe spend even more time in the Word, you know, read three chapters a day. If you read three chapters a day, you'll read the Bible in an entire year. So, you know, you can even in Bible reading, you can kind of mix things up. And so try different things. Try disciplines you've never tried before. Some you may find that really encourage you, and some you might say, I don't really like this that much. But that's okay, because God helps us to learn and grow in different ways. And lastly, have fun. We want to have joy in the things that we do in seeking to serve and know God more. It shouldn't be some, you know, dour exercise that we just have to grit our teeth through, but we should have a joy in the presence of the Lord, and as we seek to integrate various disciplines that we see in the Word of God in our lives, we can really begin seeing change. And I close with a couple, a quote and a verse. And the quote is from Richard Foster. That's him. He says, "The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people." And in the context of the church, I think this is true. Of course, we don't want people to be unintelligent or ungifted, but we want to encourage the deeper Christian life. That is something that pastors and preachers from maybe several generations ago would talk about a lot, living the deeper Christian life. And I think that's what God is calling us to go deeper with Him, to go more intimate in our knowledge with Him. And as we do that through these disciplines, we can begin to see changes that God's making in transforming us and helping us to live as the kind of people that He would have us live. And I conclude again with our passage of the day. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." And so let's seek to grow in God's grace as we seek Him through these various spiritual practices that we see in the Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You and praise You for Your Word and for this past several months, this summer, that we were able to look at various spiritual disciplines that we see in Scripture. We thank You for the example of Jesus, who spent time in the Sabbath, who went to lonely places, who modeled for us prayer, Lord, and for the disciples, Lord, who encouraged us to confess our sins to one another and to worship You in spirit and in truth, Lord. All of these disciplines, Lord, we do wish that we can through them draw closer to You and into a more intimate relationship with You. For we pray in Jesus' name, Amen.